有把琴。Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son, and by his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Children, I've got a song today again. It's called Ho 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 Hosanna. And it's a very happy song. And it reminds me a lot that when the lesson for today is about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist tends to have this reputation of not being very happy. But he was waiting for Jesus and he didn't know when he was going to come. And I'm assuming that once Jesus came, he became a happy person again. So let's sing this song and stand up and... Put your arms out like here, because you're going to be like a Santa Claus here. It goes like this. Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah. He, save me. We have the joy of the Lord. Okay, now much louder. I know you guys can sing loud. Here we go. Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah. He, save me. We have the joy of the Lord. I know you can do better than that. Let's go. Come on. Real. One more time. Last chance. Ho, 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 Hosanna. Ha, ha, hallelujah. He, save me. We have the joy of the Lord. Okay, pray this prayer with me. Repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For the joy you offer us,
help us all
to follow you,
be guided by you,
and to be filled with your joy
now and forever.
Amen. Okay. You guys can go to your practice and enjoy that time, and thank you for singing a new song. Children.
A reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure from one generation to another. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is from Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, to you shall we go. You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. In last week's lesson, we looked at the Gospel of Matthew in dealing with Jesus' second coming. And so the verse that was our focus verse was how the Son of Man will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, that he will gather his elect, and that God will send his angels to gather those elect, and they will come from the four winds and from one side of heaven to the other. Just a beautiful verse about Jesus coming to establish his kingdom in this world. But today we're going to be talking about Jesus' first coming into the world as a baby born in Bethlehem, and how that first coming was proclaimed or announced by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's message was that I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, the thong with whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John knows very clearly. I always say John knows his own limitations. He knows that his message is going to be very different from the message of the coming Messiah. But he also knows that even though he's not worthy of him, that this will be a message that will be baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus also recognizes this separation, this incongruity between the message of John the Baptist and his own message. And so in the 11th chapter of Matthew, we have Jesus responding to John the Baptist being in prison. And he says, "Of those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. However, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." I mean, how you can in one breath put somebody way up there and then take him way down, he does with that particular statement. I mean, it's an amazing contrast. Yet he's the greatest of men born of women, but the least in the kingdom of God. But then Jesus goes on to say that even the people recognize this difference. And it's a profound difference. Jesus says that John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. But the Son of Man, myself, came eating and drinking, and they call him a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Amazing contrast, just remarkable contrast between the two. Who would ever think of Jesus as a glutton and a drunkard? But yes, he liked his wine, I'm sure of that. But the fact is that this contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus' message is one that we need to understand. And so last week I tried to talk a little bit more about that. Jesus on the cross was in our lesson last week. And Jesus on the cross forgives the sins of those who are around him. Here's our people mocking him, condemning him, killing him. And yet Jesus says on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But notice, no mention of repentance. In fact, there is no repentance. This group of people around the cross are not repentant of what they're doing to Jesus. But Jesus asked God to forgive them out of their ignorance, They know not what they do. And so, what is the message of repentance then? What is the need for it? And I talked about that last week, that in offering forgiveness, repentance is not needed. But in receiving forgiveness, repentance is vital. Because you can't get, you can't be forced to receive forgiveness. And those who are not repentant will not receive the forgiveness that they're offered. And isn't that amazing when you think about it? That all you have to do is be open and be honest about your own faults, your own frailties, your own failures, your own weaknesses, and God will flood you with an undeserved forgiveness, which we call the grace of God. A beautiful statement of who Jesus is all about and what repentance and its role. But this contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus follows through all of John's ministry. And so when he says of Jesus that the one who is coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, I really believe John the Baptist thinks this is a fire of judgment. I mean, you know the phrase fire and brimstone? That's being coined by John the Baptist here. John believes that this fire with the Holy Spirit is an all-consuming fire. And so he mentions, for example, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who come to him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to repent from the fire that is to come or from the judgment that is to come?" Then he talks about how he will baptize with this repentance and Jesus will baptize with this Holy Spirit and fire. And then he talks about how the axe is laid to the root of the tree and every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And he talks about how the wheat will be gathered at the last day at Jesus' second coming. This wheat where the chaff will be separated from the wheat and the wheat will be put into the granary, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. I think John is totally wrong about this. John has no idea what this fire of the Holy Spirit is. But I think we have the opportunity to look back at who Jesus is and what he had to offer. And what Jesus offers, especially on the day of Pentecost, we will know that this fire is a fire of knowledge and a fire of God's love. I think of this fire more like being around a campfire when it's cold at night. Everybody goes around the campfire. They sing hymns. I'm going back to my camping ministry. You go around and you have this wonderful sense of God's presence and your love for each other. And you are just so incensed of having a sense of prayer at that particular time. You see the fire going up into the sky and you think of your prayers being offered up to God at the same time. It's a warming, good feeling this fire is. It's a warm glow kind of fire. And when it comes to the Pentecost or Moses and the burning bush, we know that God speaks in this fire. And so this fire is a light. It's a light in the darkness that helps us to get on and do the things that need to be done by God's wisdom. So we have this understanding that John the Baptist doesn't know what he's talking about. That he is very harsh and cruel. And he expects people to be suffering judgment. And that's where the fire comes from, his understanding. But Jesus is very different. I've always thought that John's purpose and Jesus' purpose are the same. And that's righteous living and being obedient to the will of God. But how you get there are totally opposites. And I've always thought of it in terms of John wants to influence behavior and hopes that it influences the heart. And Jesus wants to transform the heart and knows that it will influence behavior. From the outside in or from the inside out. How do you raise your children? You want to raise your children not because they're afraid of you, because of that punishment that you might offer them. You want to raise your children that they have a sense of your love for them and that you will be there for them regardless. And that change of heart will influence their behavior. John is totally different. John thinks change that behavior and eventually everything will be fine. And it just doesn't work out that way. I've always thought of this in terms of prison. Because the way of the world is the way of John the Baptist. The way of the world is, if somebody does something wrong, throw them in prison, influence and control their behavior. But when people come out of prison, many times they are more hardened criminals than they were when they went in. When I was working as a youth pastor, I went and did a prison ministry for youth that were in prison. And I was amazed how wonderful these youth are. But I did know that once they got out of prison, they were just waiting for the time when they could steal another car and they could get high on another experience of drugs. But they needed a change of heart. And without, the prison was doing absolutely nothing to change their hearts. That's what we were there for, to somehow give them Jesus, give them a change of heart, and something that would be long-lasting in their lives. One more point. John the Baptist and Jesus are in opposite sides when it comes to how do you get to righteous living. And this is really clear when John's in prison, because John sends his disciples to Jesus and asks Jesus, are you the one who's to be the Messiah, or should we look for somebody else? I mean, that's almost comical. I mean, here's the guy whose job, his one job, is to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, and he's about ready to die, and he's wondering if Jesus is really the Messiah that he is supposed to be proclaiming. And what's Jesus' response? Jesus tells his disciples to go back to John's disciples and tell them this. Tell them what you see and tell them what you hear. That the blind see, that the lame can walk, that lepers are cleansed, that the deaf can hear, that those who are dead are raised from the dead, and that the poor have good news preached to them. And how wonderful it is for those who take no offense at what I'm doing. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of righteous living, is exactly what Jesus was doing. John didn't really get that message. But it's Jesus' message that we do care for and we love and we do the things that are necessary to make sure that Jesus' rule in this world begins now and it's brought to its perfection in life to come. A life where the poor are taken care of, where those who are hurt are healed, and where there's a sense that we care for one another in such a way that we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for that. That to me is Jesus' message on the cross. Self-sacrificing love. We want more than anything that we will accomplish Jesus' purposes and that we pray that John got the message before he passed this world so he could have peace, that the message of God was being proclaimed through Jesus the Messiah. Amen.